He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday, the hot CPI print edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And the CPI did definitely come in hotter than expected. I would have expected more of a sell-off, however. The sell-off's fairly mild as I look at individual stocks underneath the surface. Even though the Dow's down 467 right now, that works out to just a 1.2% drop on that news. We're at 38,416. The S&P is down 53. That's just 1%, 5,157. The NASDAQ's down 177. I would have expected more damage to be done there. It's down 1.1%. And last time I looked, NVIDIA was actually up on the day. The small caps getting hurt the worst, down 2.5%. Why? Big sell-off in the bond market and about a 13 basis point hike jump in interest rates. Crude oil continues hot, up 15 cents, 85.38. Gold is down $14 an ounce. I thought it would probably be up, but it's not, 2,348. The 10 years at 4.49. Down 12 basis points. That's a big impact on the bond market. And Bitcoin is down 2,011 to 68,035. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. We're headed to Sarasota next week. We're planning on Minnesota, Minneapolis. Approximately four or five weeks from now, we'll have an exact date. I got to look at my summer calendar. And then back to Bloomfield Hills. I can't wait for that. That was a great trip. And then we're going to try to make it to Cleveland. Maybe I check in on that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I've never seen that. That would be something. And, of course, the good folks there in Ohio. So we've got a busy summer, fall scheduled ahead, and then, of course, we start all over again back in Sarasota. Maybe we'll get down to Houston, too, this time around. All right, well, the CPI came in hotter than expected. You know, that doesn't surprise me, really, because we've been watching oil prices sneak up here quite consistently over the last several weeks, and I think you can mostly blame a couple of things. Turmoil in the world, obviously, especially in the Middle East, that's probably the number one factor. Number two factor would be, you know, I keep hearing that China's coming back online, their economy starting to kick in. I'm not seeing a whole lot of evidence of that, but this move in commodities that we've seen would certainly suggest that. And I'm seeing predictions for oil prices to remain strong and even get stronger in the second half of the year. So the two stickiest parts of inflation are, number one, the jobs market. We haven't seen any dents in the job market yet. But number two would be energy prices right now. And, you know, the inflation numbers, if they persist, it's definitely going to have an impact on the election in November. Also, prices at the gas pump, you know, that's a real close to the vest there. People see that on a weekly basis, more so than hearing the CPI reports. That's also a big factor. Well, we had a very quiet day in the market yesterday. You know, the market's been looking for some direction. Maybe it got some today. Tomorrow we get the PPI report. That's going to either enforce what we're hearing today, amplify what we're hearing today, that inflation is still sticky. I would think that it would show up in the PPI also, because energy costs are a major input into that PPI report. Gold has been on a tear. But you know what? I think maybe gold's overdone here. Gold is very unpredictable. Buying gold stocks is a very unpredictable move at best. And it's very, very difficult to project gold prices. I think the gold's probably kind of overdue for a sell-off. I am seeing a sell-off and correction in the oil stocks right now. They were red hot. They get ahead of themselves, then they need to correct. But gold did hit 2,376, an all-time high here, I think on Monday. So anyways, we do finally have a little bit of direction. I've been saying, you know, the market's going sideways here. It's waiting for something. And you know how much these rate cuts mean to the market. I would just say that with today's print of 3.5% year over year, I would say that those rate cuts will come later in the year rather than sooner in the year. That's for sure. They're not going to be happening in April or May. You know, Crash Kari says maybe none at all. But the market is looking to that. The market is clamoring. The market is breathless, looking ahead for a rate cut in the Fed funds rate. Well, the rates are going up 13 basis points with or without the Fed. And that is bringing down the multiple of the market. I was talking yesterday about, I can't remember which one. I think it was Wells Fargo that said, they were using a 20.5 multiple on the S&P right now. Well, I think that's, you'd have to see a rate cut, several rate cuts this year to justify that multiple. In my opinion, I think the multiple belongs more down in the 19 range. We seem to be headed in that direction right now. Jeremy Siegel was using 20 as his multiple. But, you know, it's obvious that inflation is not gone away. It has not gone away. And again, the two sticky parts of that inflation equation are the jobs market, which remains very strong, and energy prices right now. So anyways, we've been waiting for the CPI report. I did notice that food prices in the inflation equation, and this is good news. I've been noticing this at the grocery store myself, that things have cooled off quite a bit from the rapid rises that we were seeing earlier this year and last year, etc. Food prices run cooler than overall inflation in March. The closely watched food category was up 2.2% year over year. With food away from home, now I do notice that. I mean, restaurant prices, you know, you're paying $14, $15 for a darn salad. I mean, I grow my own lettuce. I make my own homemade dressings. And they certainly don't cost $15, $16 to make. I mean, I grow my lettuce from seeds, for heaven's sake. I get a whole pack of seeds for a few bucks. But, you know, the labor involved, the transportation of the food involved, dinners nowadays, entrees, $35 to $45. And God forbid if you want a prime New York strip steak, then you're talking $75, $85. You're saying, where do you eat, Gunderson? We eat at Golden. Well, you know, I don't go to any of the big fancy hoity-toity places. I'm just talking about places downtown Charleston where the locals go. Food price has definitely gone up. But cooling off, okay? Overall inflation coming in at about 3.8% year-over-year, but that food element, 2.2%. Category showing notable moderating or declining year-over-year inflation. Wow. Breakfast cereal down 1.7%. Rice, none of the things we eat. Rice down 1.3%. Eggs down 6.8%. Milk down 1.6%. Apples, I knew my apple prices were going down, down 10.1%. They must have had a good crop in Washington. And coffee down 2.2%. Categories with prices still on the rise above the core inflation rate. Here you go. Baby formula up 9.9%. Beef and veal. There's your veal chop at the local steakhouse or your strip steak up 7.6% year over year. Sugar up 5.6%. I thought chewing gum was going up. 4.4%. Candy and chewing gum. Of course, a lot of that's those cocoa prices. So there you go. There is the rundown on today's hotter than expected inflation report, which is having a pretty big impact on the market, especially the bond market today. When we come back, what is the Fed up to right now? And a lot going on in China. This is the Best Stocks Now show. To the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, and we've got Barry joining us here. Barry, what was your take? My take was I expected a hotter than expected print because of energy prices, and I thought the market would sell off a lot more when I saw the actual print. What is your take?
Yeah, my thought was the fact that we're certainly a hotter number takes, to me, it really kind of takes June, it seems, right off the table. And when you're looking, I was been following the percentages through the CME, but there had been around a 60% chance, right, or 65% chance that it was going to be a cut in June. And those percentages have come way down. I mean, it used to be 100%, right, there was going to be a cut by June. And so that really kind of wipes that off the table. I think just, we kind of got a hint of it because you were talking about the PPI that we get tomorrow. We kind of had a bit of a hot PPI last time, and a lot of times that flows through, to consumers. And, the parts were, essentially shelter and energy made up more than half of, this time's, or gasoline and shelter made up more than half of this time's, CPI number, at least on the top line. But, auto insurance, has a big, decent effect on that core piece. I think it was up, over 2% or so and really had kind of an outsized weighting. So it'll be interesting to see how it kind of gets interpreted, but certainly hotter for longer, put it that way. I saw something today that said, I saw something today that called it the hot landing.
Yeah, and I think the biggest problem is energy prices right now. I think they're going to remain high. Well, there's some predictions here that we'll get to. Okay, so today I was just looking. The FOMC minutes come out at 2 p.m. We may see that can be a mover, a market mover, time to time.
And certainly right now, because you've got when you've got no clear direction, right, in terms of when in terms of agreement as to when the Fed should go ahead and pull the trigger on a rate cut, right, and so it gives you a lot more insight in those. When you're in those tips, on those right of point of flipping, right, that's where you really can make a lot of difference based on some of the meeting minutes. But
okay, Fitch cuts China's credit outlook to negative on public finance risk. That's a pretty big deal. And I keep hearing that China's coming back. That's why you're seeing copper prices have just soared. The copper stocks have soared. I don't know if it's warranted or not. But things not going too well. You had not a very friendly conversation between Yellen and whoever her counterpart was over there in China about them dumping solar panels on us at cheap cost, and also a warning on their EVs. So it's not very friendly, us in China right now.
Yeah, I mean, for them, right, it's, if they are, let's say, overproducing, right, in certain parts of, the economy, right, and then, of course, having to sell those on a lower margin, right, on the To the rest of the world, long term, right? It's obviously not good for, say, the profitability, right, of China as a whole. But in the interim, it gets people working, gets people moving, right? Gets people spending money internally.
Yeah.
So maybe that's, part of the implicit cost of what they're trying to do. It tells you that that restarting their economy wasn't as easy as it seemed it would be. Otherwise, they would be, focusing on parts of the economy and, in getting all kinds of goods
right out
to the folks instead of just one particular part of their economy.
Yeah, exactly. Crude oil forecast raised at UBS on strong demand. Okay, so they're predicting 85 to 95. We're currently at 85. They're predicting another $10. But I think the fact of the matter is that's going to continue to weigh on inflation. Q3, now Morgan Stanley says Q3 crude oil price outlook also. They're raising, Morgan Stanley's also raising, they're citing geopolitical risk, which, despite what Anthony Blinken and President Biden and everybody else wants Israel to do, they're going to go into I can't think of the name of the city right now, Rafah, and complete the job there, and then it's probably going to be Hezbollah next, and that I just don't see how that doesn't keep heavy pressure on oil prices. And I noticed the oil stocks have really cooled off here. They were on a hot run, but if they come back to a reasonable level, the leaders were definitely Marathon Petroleum, Devon Energy, a few others, the usual suspects. So I might be looking, we don't have any exposure to oil right now. But my prediction is the Middle East is not going to get calmer. It's going to escalate. Tesla is on watch after analysts warn deliveries. Well, they've already fallen. Okay, you missed it by a quarter here. I think Tesla continues under pressure, continues to be a weak stock. It continues to be a stock that's just completely lost all momentum. And continues under pressure. Now, the big story yesterday for me was NVIDIA. And, there was a story out that Google's chip that they're going to come up with themselves really is nothing to do. It is used in AI, but not like what NVIDIA's chips are used for. So it could dent it a little bit. There was also a story out there on Intel. Then why is Intel stock sinking so badly if they're going to be a major threat to NVIDIA? So, yesterday I asked myself, self, is this a threat to NVIDIA? And I just came to the conclusion, no. I said, this will blow over. When you own a great stock, how many times along the way, do threats come from other competitors or whatnot? I still think NVIDIA's got a long ways to go. It is going to consolidate. It is going to correct. It's done it many times over the past several years. And I would just say that's a pretty good sign to see NVIDIA up $11 a share today, despite what's going on in the interest rate should be shrinking that multiple. The sell-off in the NASDAQ should be bringing NVIDIA down, but instead you've got a stock that is up today. So I think that's pretty encouraging. So far, my conversation with myself is accurate so far. I said, no, I'm not going to do anything. Qualcomm is in focus, and I think that's going to be another winner as Susquehanna boosts their price target. That's a good old San Diego company. The company's strategy to go after mid-tier smartphone market looks to have taken a moderate step back, but I think the AI story is the story for Qualcomm. And they're raising their price target to $205. Where is Qualcomm now? $173, so that's pretty good, okay? And you have a very good chart on Qualcomm. It's down 1.5% today. But I think they're a player in AI. Okay, when we come back, we're going to go through some of this Magnificent Seven, which is now the Fabulous Five, really, as a couple of dropouts. And then we'll look at Bill Gunderson.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, more. I want to add a lot more color here to this NVIDIA story because, you know, look, you wonder, you worry. It's down, I think, 12% from its high. It's entered what we consider correction territory on Tuesday yesterday. As the chip-making sector continues to heat up with companies battling to challenge the semiconductor giant dominance. It was down 2% yesterday. It did recover some towards the end of the day. So the two biggest threats, and you have to analyze each of them separately. Number one, turning up the heat in the chip race, Google unveiled its latest in-house processors to help it cut its reliance on outside vendors like NVIDIA. Okay, so let's look. The original news, okay, this is before you really get into it and dig in, impacted it in a negative way. Google was up, NVIDIA was down yesterday. Then give the analyst time to read through it, analyze it, do the numbers, do more detail work on the news. And I look today, NVIDIA's up, Google down. Okay, so that's not an indication to me that there's a strong threat to NVIDIA's position or to their sales by this Google news yesterday. So, I mean, the conclusion I made yesterday is first I want to see how the stocks react here. You can't take a one-day knee-jerk reaction. Let the dust settle a little bit, and I like what I see today. The second one is even more stark and obvious to me. As far as Intel being a threat, Barry, look at Intel's stock today.
Well, yeah, it's funny because I'm looking at the exact opposite company. I had TSM pulled up on my screen, who makes all the chips.
Well, they had good news today.
Yeah, they did.
Okay,
but yeah, Intel down 1.9%. Right.
Yeah, and the chart is horrible. So if it was a massive
threat. Look at that drop off on the back end of that chart.
Oh, it's horrible. If it was a massive threat to NVIDIA, it wouldn't be selling off today. It takes time for, you know, these analysts to digest the news and to look into it and to find out really, okay, exactly what is this chip that Intel makes do? Because, I mean, on the surface it sounds, oh, wow, it's cheaper, it's faster, blah, 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 blah. Well, I look at the market reacts and it's like, ugh. There ain't much here. So, anyways, that's my take on that. Okay, now I want to look at the Magnificent Seven just for a minute. And I also, this target price on NVIDIA caught my eye also. NVIDIA, this is Bank of America. Okay, Merrill Lynch. I'm sure they got some pretty good analysts there that cover these stocks a lot closer than I do. And I put their pencil to them. Of course, I do it on a regular basis. I adjust and tweak NVIDIA's target price. I'd look out 5 years, but it's always interesting to see what other target prices are. Bank of America has a $1,100 target price. So I'm guessing that's 12 months. And NVIDIA, $1,100. It's currently at $870. So that's pretty healthy target price on the stock. And, of course, we're out a lot further. We're out 5 years, and we're like around $1,500,
$1,600. What is that? It's almost close to 33%, right? from where it is right now. 27.5%.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, consider that the stock is up 200% over the last 12 months. It is the most magnificent of the Magnificent Seven, and the most unmagnificent of the Magnificent Seven, which I don't think you could include in any Magnificent Seven anymore. Tesla's down 4% over the last 12 months. Apple is down, or is up just 5% over the last 12 months. So I really think now you're down to the Fabulous Five. NVIDIA's up 210% over the last year. Meta's up 141. Amazon's up 82. Microsoft's up 50. And Google's up 48. And I would also say that I obviously saw something in these charts a long time ago, and the two that have dropped out, because we sold them quite some time ago, Apple and Tesla. And when I did it, it was kind of like, wow, you sold all your Tesla just like that? Yes, I did. It was a big position. Wow, you sold Apple just like that? You dumped it all? Gone? Yes, quite some time ago at a much higher price. So, you know, the first place problems show up are in the charts. And I did see a problem in NVIDIA's, a brewing problem in NVIDIA's chart, enough to get your attention and give you some heartburn, you know. A few Tums, looking into some of the details of the news. I said, you know, I don't think that this is going to be much of a threat here. So far, that's, you have to make a lot of little decisions during the course of a day. And every once in a while, you just become convinced that the story's changing, the story's over, the story just got better, the story's still intact, don't sweat it. And in fact, the article that Bank of America wrote, the title is Don't Sweat. the NVIDIA's recent slide is a refreshing noise. Okay, well, sometimes stocks have to consolidate. And they also weighed in on the two threats and say they don't see much there, even though on the surface. I saw the Gaudi 3 is the Intel one. It's the AI accelerator. It delivers 50% on average better inference and 40% on average better power efficiency. Then why is the stock selling off today? Their NVIDIA's chip, 30,000. Well, it can't be as good as NVIDIA's chip, Google's chip, or Intel's chip. Okay, you have teenagers in the house. Piper Sandler released their 47th semi-annual Taking Stock with Teens survey on Tuesday. Their favorite stocks are Celsius. So,
right.
You know, that's good. That's
right.
Good that Celsius has caught on with the teenagers. Starbucks, McDonald's, and Elf Beauty stand out.
We got one, huh?
And one other one that Deckers also shows up on that list.
Surprised Roblox didn't show up on that list.
Yeah, and then Chipotle is right behind McDonald's.
Right.
But a teenager, I mean, look, McDonald's is the deal. You get it fast, quick, and it's fairly cheap. Not what it used to be, cheap. So anyways, that's always good news. But I'm also hearing there is a little sell-off in Deckers today. Softening HOKA trends to weigh on Deckers outlook. Okay, this comes from an analyst, I don't know, some firm. I can't find the name of the firm. They say that the valuation is the, oh, it's from Truist. They're taking a cautious stance. We still have a very robust target price on Deckers. That's what I look at. I look at the bottom line earnings and a multiple. That's as simple as that.
Well, our team asked about Chick-fil-A stock, so we got in a discussion about a private versus public company, right? So yeah, he probably won't ask a question in regards to that for a while because it became a much more deeper conversation than because it's a private company. But
same with In-N-Out Burger, right? I mean, if In-N-Out Burger ever went public, okay. Now, I also think there's been a little pullback. And I think it's ridiculous in Novo Nordisk and Lilly. because the EU is going to investigate the suicidal thoughts once again, even though our own FDA has already looked at it and poo-pooed it. They can look at all they want. I think these pullbacks, Lilly, for instance, is gives you another chance to get in. And by the way, I mean, the market's down 400 or 500 points today. Lilly is up 1% today. Lilly is up 1%. So anyways, and here's news on Lilly today. They are launching construction of a $2.5 billion plant to meet obesity drug demand.
I must tell you, they feel pretty good about about the prospects of the...
they can't meet the demand. They're building the plant in Germany. So anyways, I think, like I say, I think pullbacks and great stocks... Has everybody?
How long does it take to build that plant?
It's not done. It takes a while.
Operations, yeah. Operations will start in 2027.
So. Yeah, it takes a while. That means they have a pretty healthy long-term outlook for the demand for their weight loss drug. And then one last one. Taiwan Semiconductor, as you said, is surging. Their sales are surging. I worry about the political. Geopolitical there myself. But Taiwan, new high today. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And I would have expected a bigger sell-off in the market today, but I can tell you the sector that stands out to me. We had a guy transfer a portfolio to us recently. See, you better be careful. If you transfer a portfolio to us, we may talk about your portfolio. right. We don't mention any names,
anonymously.
Obviously. Okay, it's all anonymous. But he happened to have a lot of REITs. Half of his portfolio is probably REITs. I'm just not a fan of REITs. Okay, now that's why probably when I write articles for Seeking Alpha, once in a while they'll hit it big and be the number one article there. But a lot of times if it's a smaller growth under-the-radar stock, you know, the REIT guys kill me as far as page views and all this. They just love REITs on Seeking Alpha. They're getting clobbered today, and they have not done very well. I mean, you compare them against the Magnificent Five, so... You know, I see the
very REIT, you know, very rate sensitive, and
very
rates, you know, if you look at the interest rates today, you know, treasury wise, right? You've got a 14 basis point jump. We're over 4.5 now on a 10-year, and you're over. I think I saw the 2-year earlier today. Yeah, it's up almost 20 basis points. It's at 4.94. So.
You get 5% on a 2-year treasury, right?
Right, yeah. 2-year right now, we're at 4.94. So
there you go. So, I mean, you're taking on a lot of risk in real estate.
Well, it's hard to know what's in there now. You know, that's the other part is what's under the hood, right?
Yeah.
Where are they, you know, that's, you know, you continue to get some of that discovery in terms of, you know, which one of these buildings are, you know, which ones can you convert into something else? Which ones may, you know, really, you know, conversion cost exceed the value, right? So there's certainly some hidden sores, right, in you know, underneath the hood of some of those REITs. That's the other scary part.
Okay, I'm just looking at Realty Income, which is probably the blue chip. That's the one they always point to. Okay, so far this year, not counting the dividend, it's down 5.8%. Last year it was down 14.3%, and the year before that it was down 11.4%. Now, you can add the dividend to that, which is about, I think, 4%, 4.5%, somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's got a forward yield of 5.6%,
yeah.
So, you know, we're not even halfway through the year yet, right? So you'd have to half that number at least, right, 2.8.
Okay, so, you know, I just don't see the attraction myself. I can in a falling interest rate environment, but we certainly are not there yet. I don't think you're going to see interest rates back down at 1 or 2 where we were before. I think they're going to stay elevated. So the REITs are taking it on the chin today. SL Green is down 6.4%. Vornado is down 6%. Okay, so think about it. Most of them don't even yield this. They yield somewhere in the 4 or 5. One day, look at the volatility. Extra Space Storage down 5.1. American Tower down 4.6. Boston Properties down 4.6. Prologis. And, you know, I just don't get it. The number one article on Seeking Alpha today is a guy that's very popular there, writing about half of his retirement portfolio is in fixed income and REITs. I think fixed income, if you want safety, okay, and not a lot of volatility.
Yeah, predictable return, right?
Yeah, I mean, predictable return.
Yeah, that's probably the best, yeah. You know, for a portion, but then you're going to put the rest of it, right, potentially on a REIT, which, you know, especially if it's publicly traded, right? A publicly traded REIT, you know, in times of crisis tends to trade more like a stock, right, than anything else in that environment. So, certainly can be volatile.
So as a certified financial planner, you're not on the 50-50 stock, other 50. And this is the gist of the article. He's got half of his retirement portfolio in fixed income and REITs. Okay, so I'm not on board with that. So I'm just all right. So that's what's getting hit today. Deckers is also down 6.1 on that downgrade. On the upside, NVIDIA is up. That's kind of surprising, up 1.6%. GE Aerospace, this is the S&P 500, which has done a magnificent job. It's up 1.2%. I'm seeing probably the best sector in the market today is the oil sector. Pioneer Natural Resources up 1%. FTI is up 2.7%. I think maybe that this little pullback in the oil and gas, I'm definitely going to look into it. There are a few there that have caught my eye and have got my interest. Let's see. Walgreens is down 4%. Good thing they kicked them out of the Dow, or the Dow would be down about 600 right now. Tesla's down another 3.1% today, but I don't see any really heavy damage being done other than the interest rate sensitive. The REITs are definitely the biggest losers today. Microsoft's down 1.2%. So I'm not seeing a lot of multiple contraction in the market. It's more interest rate sensitive stuff that's selling off. Okay, if you'd like to meet with us Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that's just around the corner in Sarasota. You have to call Edie at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. To see if we can work it out with you on one of those days. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, you know, you don't have to be in Sarasota, obviously. We have folks from all over the country that I manage the money for them. You can set up an appointment with us, talk to a certified financial planner, chartered financial analyst.
I'm looking forward to getting down there.
Yeah, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. To get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, which has been pretty accurate on the macro calls of the market since 2009, and has done okay with the five portfolios that I manage. You can get 2 free weeks of the full Monty, which is at GundersonCapital.com. And the app is going to start. The data in the app right now, the historical data, is not adjusted for dividends. I think that's a big, big flaw. And I finally found a data provider that is adjusted for dividends. So the REITs, for instance, you know, Barry, if a REIT is down 5.6% for a 12-month period of time, you got to add back in the dividend, and that does change, especially over a 10-year period of time. So we're going to flip the switch any day now that we found that new data provider. Again, 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.